I did build a robot, and I'll tell you how that came about. I think the I call it GB3000 right now, or GB3.0. I didn't nickname it Ghostbot, but everybody else calls it that. I was invited to my group was invited to investigate a home, a 100-year-old home in Rialto, California, and we were invited by the realtor who was trying to sell the home, which is very rare because I'd never been invited by a realtor before. And the reason that she invited us is she said that she has a gentleman that cleans the house for her on a regular basis. He cleans all her homes prior to the sale or to touring around with the potential buyers. And she said something happened to him that scared him so bad in the house that he ran out of the house and left all his cleaning equipment and refuses to go back to the house. So she called us, she heard about us, and she called us to go out there and to see what's going on. So needless to say, I was really excited about going to the house. We got there a little after midnight, set up all of our equipment, and this was an amazing house. There's absolutely all the power was cut off to the home.
And where specifically was the house?
This was Rialto, California.
Okay.
A fairly old area, it's a 100-year-old home, and I say some of the other houses are very amazing. They're like look like river rock or something like that. The construction of the house almost like a little castle. Beautiful old place. We set up equipment in this place, and one of the things we did is we did a sweep, an EMF sweep, and basically, I was looking for any type of electromagnetic field energy that would spike in the house, especially since there should be almost zero because the power was shut off to the house. So immediately what we did, we found out is we picked up an EMF reading that was in the center of this room. And what was really interesting about the EMF reading is that it didn't reach to the ceiling and it didn't touch the floor. It was kind of in the middle of the room, and it began, and it was a roving EMF field. So it began to move around, which we know wires and things like that and wiring and chandeliers, even if the power was on, it would not move. We wouldn't get something that's moving from one location to another. So that was the first thing that we detected. We set up a static camera pointing in the direction that we were walking so that we could observe ourselves. And we walked up the stairs to the top portion of the house, and we were, while moving around and investigating the house, we actually found the classic passageway behind the bookshelf, which was amazing. So we slid open the bookshelf, and there literally was a passageway back there. It was very, fairly small. If you had to enter it, I think you'd have to go on your hands and knees. And the one thing that struck me is it looked like no one had been in the passage for at least 80 to 90 years, and it was undisturbed. It was a layer of dust.
Bet it was creepy, Albert, wasn't it?
I think there's something wrong with me, George, because when I go to these places, I don't get creeped out. I'm so curious.
Really?
I'm the guy that the monster in the movies, that he's coming toward the guy with the camera, and the guy keeps holding the camera, and eventually the camera drops to the ground and is photographing the...
And you get eaten. You're the one who gets eaten all the time.
I'm the guy that gets eaten or attacked because I'm so busy filming the footage that I'm too, not reactive enough to take off and run for my life. So, I guess for the average person, which I've had a lot of people join my group and a lot of people leave it because some people just can't handle it. For the average person, I'd say, yeah, definitely it was a little creepy, especially with the roving EMS field. But there was something else that occurred downstairs while we were filming upstairs that happened that we found later that really shocked us. But anyway, let me tell you real quick. So I'm looking in the passageway, and I stopped my crew from going in there because I didn't want to disturb the environment because it was, a 90-year-old pristine environment. And that's when I had the idea that if I had some kind of probe or a droid or a robot or something, kind of like the explorers on Mars, if I had something that could move into that area, it would disturb a little bit, but not as much as a person in overalls and equipment scurrying down the passageway. And that's when I came up with the idea. And I went home after gathering all our equipment at the investigation. And my house, I have, I wouldn't say it's out of sorts and messy, but I do collect electronic stuff and radio control and motors. And because I'm always thinking there's going to be some use to this kind of stuff eventually.
You probably have boxes of stuff,
oh,
huh?
I have literally boxes and boxes of things that I guess the average person would throw out, but each one of them means something. And even though it's very cluttered in my hobby room, I know where everything is in the box. So I start putting parts and things like that together. I had already studied C++ programming years ago when I was on the space station program with a friend of mine working on some projects there. So I was familiar with programming, and I constructed this bot and gave it a really nice microprocessor that I could actually plug up to my computer and program, and that was the beginning of GhostBot 1.0. And to this day, that thing is an amazing tool and device to use on paranormal investigation. I don't know if anybody else uses a robot, but it has added to what we do tremendously.